Kurt Bauer is a Wisconsin Eye newsmaker because he's now president and CEO of WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and it was only a few days ago he was president of the Wisconsin Bankers Association. Kurt, you're on what, fourth or fifth day on the job?
Fourth day.
Okay, thanks very much for stopping in to talk about your new job. I really appreciate it. Well, you just went through a months-long process of being considered and chosen, so you can probably answer this question. What is the mission of WMC? Let's take it back to the basics.
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. It's to make Wisconsin the best place in the nation for businesses to locate. And, you know, of course, we've seen some of the business rankings. Forbes recently ranked us in the upper 40s as far as business climate. So we have a ways to go in that regard. So I've got a big job ahead of me.
Well, in terms of rankings, is Wisconsin getting better in terms of, is the welcome mat out for all these companies that you'd like to, number one, keep here and bring here?
Well, the governor, of course, has said we're open for business, and he's trying to change the climate. But, of course, we're just in the beginning of working at that. I think we have a ways to go. We really look at three different areas. We look at the tax climate for corporations and for individuals. We look at the regulatory climate. Are we, you know, fair and consistent? Obviously, you need strong regulation on businesses to protect consumers and protect the environment and those types of things. But there are things you can do to streamline the permitting process, for an example. And as I said, consistency is important so that each time you have an administration change, you're not changing the rules and making it more difficult and then easing them and so forth. And then on the litigation front, you don't want to create an environment for frivolous lawsuits that cost businesses a lot of money. So those three areas are primarily where we focus.
Boy, you just mentioned lawsuits. Was that the reason that WMC just got involved in the Supreme Court election, which is still unresolved because there's going to be a recount?
Right. We get involved in those because they're vital to our advocacy role. The Supreme Court does have a major say in the business climate of the state because they rule on things such as, you know, in 2005 we had the lead paint ruling that I think had a chilling effect on our business climate and led to the Wall Street Journal referring to Wisconsin as Alabama North. So we think it's vital, very much part of the advocacy role that we have.
Well, the ads that WMC ran in the Prosser versus Kloppenburg were run by, let me get the name of the group right, WMC Issues
Mobilization.
Mobilization. What's the relationship between WMC and WMC Issues Mobilization?
Well, they're part of WMC.
A subsidiary?
It's a subsidiary. It's a C4 organization with just a generic tax terminology in that parlance. But it's part of our organization, and we use it to advocate for pro-business initiatives. Both, it's not express advocacy. It's indirect advocacy. We don't say on there.
Call Joanne Kloppenburg.
Exactly. So there's a whole slew of legal and case law that goes along with it, but it's basically our way of informing the public before they go to the polls.
Now, you don't file any statements with the GAB on where your money come from or how much it's spent. Why?
It's protected, and there's been a court case that is a precedent on that. So under current law, we do not have to list who our contributors are.
Do you want to voluntarily talk about how much you spent in the Supreme Court race?
Actually, I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I'm still
You're brand
fairly new.
On the job.
I can tell you that we estimate that the unions and some of the other issue advocacy groups probably spent about $3 million. We will probably be shy of that. They had a funding advantage in the beginning, but a lot of folks rallied at the end. So I think we'll be just below that.
How does WMC make a decision? We're going to get involved in this, in whether to elect candidate A or B. What's the process by which WMC employs?
Again, being so new, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
You know, at my previous job, we would basically do interviews and would look at their record, and obviously if they were incumbent or had been elected official someplace else, they had a record that you could review.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody coming in new, you do some things like surveys and so forth. I actually don't know if WMC does that. I'm just too new.
Yeah, okay. What about, now you talked about the three most important issues, tax climate.
Mm-hmm.
Again, is Wisconsin getting better just from that standpoint?
Depends on who you listen to. I have seen, certain interest groups will tout certain studies and certain rankings. Consistently, though, Wisconsin has not had the most favorable tax climate, at least from a corporate perspective. And of course, individually, it hasn't been wonderful either. I think what's very telling, if you look at what happened in Illinois, they just recently had a individual and corporate tax increase, but their tax rate overall is still lower than Wisconsin. I think that's very telling that we have a ways to go there, that, you know, it does matter. It does impact people and businesses. You look at it on the individual side, we've had difficulty with retirees staying in Wisconsin. Very often they go to tax-free jurisdictions with maybe better climates, mm-hmm. Arizona, Florida. We want them to stay here. We want their money to stay here. We want it invested here. And the best way to do that is to create a tax environment that incentivizes them to stay here. The same thing is true with the corporate tax rate. I mean, you look at the federal rate, it's 35%. It's the highest in the industrialized world. Then you add on the 7% Wisconsin rate, mm-hmm. and you're talking about a major expense to a business. And to a business, they just look at it as another cost of doing business. You know, it's nothing more than that to them, and that's the way they have to look at it. They want to make sure that they are capable of competing while still operating in the state of Wisconsin, and they look at a variety of different things. Now, taxes is just one of it, the regulatory environment, the litigation, and, often we talk about the great quality of life in the state of Wisconsin, which we do have, but taxes do impact your quality of life, after all.
2 years ago, you were at the Bankers when the Democrats chose to raise the corporate taxes. Do you think that hurt the state's ability to keep businesses and get new ones?
I think it sent a message, and it's not just combined reporting. Combined reporting, some like it, some don't. It depends on where you are. Obviously, if you've got operations that aren't making money and you can bring back in that money, you can actually get a tax break. Mm-hmm. If you are making money from your out-of-state operations, you pay more. My concern, of course, would be that you don't want to penalize somebody for headquartering in Wisconsin. That's something that we're very concerned about. We want to have headquarters here. We're going to lose M&I here in July. That's a big hit to the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. It's a 150-year-old plus entity, right. With a huge economic impact. And they've got a foundation, all of the things that come with having a headquarters here in Wisconsin. I just use that as an example.
Well, that's a pretty good example. Why is the state of Wisconsin losing M&I?
Well, of course, they were acquired by Bank of Montreal, right. Which is in the United States known as Harris Bank. They're already based in Chicago, and that's typically what happens. Now, I do think that there's an opportunity for us to try and talk the Bank of Montreal people into staying in the Milwaukee area with a lot of their operations. After all, it's cheaper to operate in Milwaukee than it is in Chicago for a variety of reasons. You're talking about the rent, commuting downtown, what you actually have to pay people to operate and live in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So we do have some advantages there that we can tout. But we don't want to lose those headquarters. It's important to Wisconsin. They're, the anchor businesses. Big business is important. And, of course, oftentimes those big businesses create a variety of smaller businesses that help serve them. And they get the subcontracts. Maybe they're, providing services to the well-paid employees. I mean, it's just kind of a food chain.
Follow-up question on that. Is the loss of M&I as a corporate flagship for Wisconsin at all related to the federal bailout?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Different market factors?
No, I think you're just looking at the consolidation that's taking place in the banking system. It's pretty typical.
And, another banking question. How exposed were Wisconsin bankers to the subprime problem, and how exposed are they now?
To subprime, almost zero.
Zero?
Banks didn't do subprime loans. 94% of all the subprime loans that were done during the last decade were done outside of the banking system. They were done by mortgage brokers and so forth. FDIC-insured, highly regulated banks just aren't equipped to do that. That's not what they do. That's not their business model. When I was wearing my other hat at the Bankers Association, right. I used to say that bankers don't make loans to people who don't have the capacity to repay them. That's just not the business model they're in. So zero or next to zero in the past, next to zero now. Subprime loans just hasn't been a problem for
banks. This will be my last question on your previous career, I promise. In 2010, what percentage of banks, of Wisconsin banks, lost money?
You know, I'm not sure.
But it was.
I think it was. I think we had 4 out of 5 banks that
made
money.
So 20%.
About 20%, maybe. Yeah, sounds about right. Things are improving in the banking world, and that's a good thing because banks are a barometer of the overall economic conditions in the state. So if banks are doing better, that means the businesses and individuals that they serve are doing better, and that's a good thing.
Okay, now putting on your WMC hat. The recession, has it hit bottom in Wisconsin? As you go around to meet some of your new WMC members, what are they saying? Are things getting better, or are they still very concerned?
I haven't met a whole lot yet. I've had a chance
How many members are there at WMC?
About 3,500.
And they range, you're perceived as being an arm of big business?
Right.
Is that fair?
But that isn't fair. Actually, the vast majority of our members are small business with 30 employees or less. So, we represent a broad cross-section of Wisconsin industry and business.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every sector of the business community is represented in WMC. Going back to the Wisconsin Bankers Association, we did an economic survey of our membership twice per year, and specifically asking your question, they believe that we have indeed hit bottom, bank CEOs around the state, and that we are slowly working our way out of this recession. I think that most people at WMC would probably agree with that. It's a fledgling recovery, to be sure. And I think we have to watch things like gas prices, and we don't want to do something that will tip the balance and have a double dip. But slowly but surely, I do think that we're working our way out of this.
You've been watching the Capitol and different governors for a long time, a number of years. The governor's budget plan would cut aid to schools, local governments by, I've heard number $1.2 billion and $1.5. Is that a good idea?
Well, we have to do something. We're out of money. We're broke. We have tried a variety of different things to basically ignore the problem and hope that it would go away or maybe we'd grow out of it economically, and that hasn't happened. But, you mentioned that I've been around a while. I've actually got 18 years of experience doing this. I remember being a chief lobbyist for the Wisconsin Bankers Association in the late 1990s, which were the heady days from the economic standpoint. The tax collections, the corporate tax collections were coming in above projections again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And the legislature at that time spent every dime of it. And then we hit the recession of 2001, and suddenly we had a major imbalance. And it's taken us about 12 years to finally realize, hey, we've got to do something about that. I mean, we've tried everything else. We've raised taxes on business. We have raided segregated funds. We have taking government, federal government stimulus money or bailout money, and we have pushed things into future bienniums. None of that has worked. We finally have to address the shortfall. We have to address the fact that we have more government than we can afford right now.
Well, what about the idea that the Democrats say that if you cut this state aid to schools and local governments, you're hurting, and this is the term you used earlier in the interview, quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be?
Well, I'm not a administration official. I frankly am not that well informed on all of those issues. All I know is we don't have the money, and we have to make adjustments. We have to change what we have been doing that caused a problem. That's what it comes down to. We just don't have the money.
We have a budget crisis in the Capitol, and there's a huge and even bigger budget crisis with a lot more zeros in Washington.
Yes.
What does WM think of Paul Ryan's plan to prune federal spending?
Well, I don't think we have an official position on the plan itself as of yet, and I don't know that we will. That's not something that we necessarily would do. I think I personally am very supportive of what Congressman Ryan is trying to accomplish. I think that we're in denial. We've been in denial here in Wisconsin. We're definitely in denial in Washington. And I heard Erskine Bowles, the Democrat appointee that chaired the Deficit Commission from North Carolina, former chief of staff for President Clinton. He said, I think it was just yesterday or the day before, that, this will cause a major economic crisis. And unlike the last one, we won't have to have a bunch of commissions to figure out what caused it. We'll know. It's coming, and we've got to address it. $14 trillion deficit debt right now.
And it's
getting worse and worse and worse, and we're just in denial. We've got to stop being in denial. We've got to address it right now.
Let's go back to Wisconsin politics a little bit. When he was profiled in Sunday State Journal, Democratic Senator Tim Cullen remembers when he led the Senate in the 1980s. He remembered the good old days where WMC endorsed Democrats and WEAC endorsed Republicans. Is WMC really only interested in backing the GOP candidates?
No. I like to say, you know, it's not pro-Republican, it's not pro-Democrat, it's pro-business. That's what we want. And there are certainly pro-business Democrats. We've worked with them at the Wisconsin Bankers Association. I look forward to working with them at WMC. But to us, it's all about, you know, look, growing the economy, expanding jobs, that's not a partisan issue. We can all agree on that. We get a little fuzzy sometimes when we talk about how to go about it. But, you know, let's work from that premise, and then we can have stakeholders get together, and we'll figure out how to get it done. So, well, I look forward to working with Democrats and Republicans alike.
One of the issues prior to the November elections was, one of the shadow issues was, should our corporate income tax be abolished? Would that be a good step forward for WMC members?
I'd have to research that a little bit more. I know that it's been proposed before, and you do look at some of the states that do have either a very low corporate tax rate or zero corporate tax rate. You know, there's always a balance there. I believe Florida, for example, doesn't have a corporate tax rate, but their fees are very high. If anybody who's ever been there went to Orlando, you know, you're going to pay a lot for tolls and so forth. Right. So there's always a balance there. But I think that we have to look at a variety of different things. Taxes is important, to be sure, right, but we've got to focus on all three of those areas. And I think we need to have a competitive tax rate. We also have to have a fair and consistent regulatory environment. And then we also have to have a litigation environment that just doesn't harass business.
Did you, wearing the old and new hat, did you like the idea of converting commerce and making it more of an independent group on its own?
I do, because I think it's been too bureaucratic, and I think it needs to focus. You know, sometimes we become obsessive with, you know, trying to attract businesses from other states to come in, and those are the ones that get the headlines. We love it when we take a business from Illinois or we get a plant relocation from someplace else. But what we really need to do is retain the businesses we have here and then have some organic growth in Wisconsin, entrepreneurship, and allow people to start businesses right here in Wisconsin. We sometimes forget about that because, you know, you look at some of the tax breaks that are offered to businesses to relocate here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least it's a recognition that the tax environment does matter. But let's not forget the businesses that have been here many for decades or longer than that. And they have been contributing to the tax base. They've been contributing to the communities. We can't forget them. And they need to be rewarded. They need incentives to stay here as well.
You've been watching our Capitol for how many years in one job or another?
18.
18. What do you consider to be some of the biggest changes? But let me be more specific. Why is our Capitol more partisan than 18 years ago, sir?
Money.
Money?
It's all about the campaigns. I'm afraid that's the truth. And, you know, it's all about getting reelected. And, it should be. I've got a friend of mine who's a chief lobbyist for the American Bankers Association, and he says that good policy always wins out, it just takes more time. I'd like to believe that, but I sometimes believe that in this hyperbolic environment that we have where it's perpetual campaign season,
yes,
that politics tends to trump good policy, and that's too bad. We need to get back to what's best for Wisconsin, and we have to work in a bipartisan way. I mean, we've seen in these elections how it sways back and forth.
Yes.
And that shows you that the public is not satisfied with the status quo right now.
I was going to ask you, the Democrats ran the table in 08, and now the Republicans ran the table in 10. Why?
I think it's a referendum on the job that everybody's doing. I don't think the public thinks we're doing a good enough job, and we need to. And you solve that by focusing on good policy, and the public will reward you by reelecting you.
But as a new head of WMC, you're in charge of one of the largest groups that can influence the campaigns and the elections. Do you think a first step should be groups like you dialing back on what your group spend to elect or defeat somebody?
Well, I'm not a big fan of unilateral disarmament. So,
but you can say that because, you know, you're pretty well funded, aren't you?
Well, you know, we certainly have we certainly done our share to promote the pro business side of things. You know, there are a lot of folks on the other side as well. I guess it goes back to what are we trying to accomplish? You know, I'd like to sit down with some folks on the other side and say, you know, what makes a good Wisconsin? And I think ultimately we agree that we want economic expansion because we want jobs. It all comes back to jobs. Both sides want jobs. You know, as I said earlier, we may disagree on how to get there, but if we can at least agree on a goal, you know, on that common ground, maybe we can figure out some things that we agree with.
How do you, or how does WMC feel about the Citizens United ruling that said that corporations can spend money, that money is equal to free speech?
You know, I'm not as familiar with that as I probably will need to be at WMC. I'm aware of what it said. I would certainly think WMC supports that ruling, but I'm not an expert.
I
apologize.
What's the specific WMC goals for the this current session of the ledge? Well, your top priorities are what?
Well, you know, we have a variety of detailed policy. Nothing terribly sexy. I think what we're looking at more than anything is that we want to improve the business climate in the three areas that I mentioned. We're certainly very pleased that Governor Walker introduced a budget that does not include tax increases. We think that's a good first step. And the last biennium, we had a $1 billion tax increase. And, you know, that's a significant hit, particularly during a downturn in the economy. It has a major impact. So, you know, watching that the tax, regulatory, and litigation environment are our priorities. Under there, we don't have anything that's terribly sexy. It's just kind of nuts and bolts stuff.
Your members pay into the unemployment fund. We owe the feds $1.5 billion with a B. What's the best way for the state of Wisconsin to pay back that $1.5 billion?
I don't know.
Okay. I understand. Do you think... is it realistic for Governor Walker to say over 4 years he can create 250,000 new jobs?
I think so. I think we should be able to do that. I hope we can. I think for the future of the state, I'd like to see that happen. You know, little things. You do it in increments, hopefully 10,000 here and there. Little things can add up. So I think that it is realistic. It'll certainly be a goal that all of us should have because it'll mean that our economy is improving and the quality of life of our citizens is improving as well.
Well, let's go back to a question I asked you about earlier. In 2009, when the Democrats raised the corporate income tax, they said they were closing, quote, the Las Vegas loophole.
Mm-hmm. Combined reporting?
Yes, with combined reporting. Loopholes, a very emotional term. What's the other side of that debate?
Well, you know, I know that there's a lot of talk about, at the federal side in particular, you know, going with some flat rates and eliminating all of the deductions and so forth. You know, most of these things are not technically loopholes. To me, a loophole conjures up a drafting error in the law. That's mm-hmm. That would be a loophole. Many of these things were intentional. Combined reporting, for example, that was intentional. Wisconsin wanted to incentivize businesses to locate here, so it wasn't a loophole. That was politics. That was a way to sell it and to embarrass businesses that were taking advantage of it. But it was the tax law. It wasn't done in the middle of the night. It was a tax law passed by the legislature. So, you know, I think we can look at those types of things. Maybe we need to have all of that on the table if we're moving forward. I know that they've talked about that with the tax commission at the federal level about maybe eliminating all of the federal exemptions and deductions. Something worth taking a look at, to be sure. Certainly, if we're going to address a $14 trillion national debt, we're going to have to do something.
Do you think combined reporting should be repealed during the session of the ledge?
I don't think it will be, and WMC's position is not for a full revocation because, again, some businesses actually benefit from it, as I mentioned earlier. If you've got a subsidiary that's not doing particularly well, you can actually bring that in and give yourself a tax break. So I don't think it's been the windfall that some of the proponents who were really pushing for combined reporting really thought it was going to bring in a lot of money. I don't think it's brought in anywhere near the money as projected.
Let's look at our political calendar. WMC got involved in the Supreme Court election that was yesterday. Mm-hmm. There are three special elections in May to fill vacant seats in the Assembly. And then you have X number of recalls. Is WMC going to be a big player? Do you think, in each of those next three?
I don't know yet. We'll have to look at each race. We'll have to look at what our resources are. It's very interesting. As I said earlier, we're in a even when we don't have constant campaigns like we are anticipating now, yeah. we're on a permanent campaign footing, and it really poisons our political discourse. It looks to me like it's just going to be money flowing around on both sides, and that's too bad. It would be nice if we could step back a little bit. Now, some of these are special elections because of vacancies, because people went to the administration, and I can't tell you which ones we're going to be involved in at this point. We'll have to evaluate it.
Well, can I ask you about, you just said that Wisconsin Capitol engaged in poisonous discourse. You also said WMC doesn't want to disarm. Isn't there a contradiction there?
Well, we want to make sure that our point of view is out there. People need to know what a competitive Wisconsin should look like, and that's what we think is our role. Certainly the other side, legally protected, wants to project another message. They hope that resonates. Perhaps we can come together and talk about it, but as of right now, I think that's unlikely.
So, WMC got involved in the Prosser-Kloppenburg race because do you feel the court has had predictability over the last few years and you were afraid of losing it?
I think that's a fair comment, yes.
Okay. You've watched the Capitol for how many, 18 years?
18 years.
You ever thought about running for office?
No.
Why?
It's more fun on this side.
More fun on that side?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Kurt Bauer, new president and CEO of WMC, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.
Appreciate it.